Sean Manning here with Joseph Lubin to talk about neo-pagan and New Age religious movements in Kansas. We'll start out, was there, I've got a list of questions here, but if there is anything...
We'll start off with the questions.
Start off with the questions? Okay. In what churches or other religious organizations have you participated? And if you can, names, locations, and dates, approximate dates where you were active.
Okay. Well, first of all, in Kansas, I was actually born in Miami, Oklahoma. My grandparents lived in Galena, Kansas. So the first churches I remember were in Galena, Kansas. They were Pentecostal, loosely Pentecostal. By that I mean that they weren't affiliated with any other churches, but they seemed to be fundamentalist. And simultaneous to this, the group that participated in those churches also practiced what we now call kitchen witchery. So that's the very first thing I remember, is one part being this holy roller side and the other part being this very occult, mystical, magical side. And that was in Galena, Kansas. Galena, Riverton, Webb City, Joplin, Missouri, that whole area in there. But there were a number of that ilk of Pentecostal lookalikes.
Okay.
Next question. Well, I have participated in another church besides that one, but that was my first one. Next would probably be I participated as a, my father was a Jew, so I had some Jewish studies as a kid that were not really strictly enforced. Later I became involved with my uncle Max, who eventually handled my Jewish teachings and handled my bar mitzvah. He was the leading force in my Jewish upbringing. And then my uncle Bennett, at the same time, was a Kabbalist, and he spent a lot of time teaching me Kabbalah. So again, I have this dual world that I lived in, one very mystical, one very emotional.
So how did that get you involved in neo-pagan or New Age?
Later, I became involved with several group studies. One was with a woman named Terry Wright and her husband Myron Wright, and they were teaching a study group called Gateway Seminars. Myron and Terry had been contemporaries of a fellow that started EST, and they had split on the idea of how they had the same ideas. However, the way they participated was very, very different. And EST, things are very harsh and confrontational. In Gateway, they used more of a strength model than a weakness model. Where EST uses a weakness model of the participant, Gateway used a strength model. And are you familiar with what I mean by the difference of that? In a weakness model, you concentrate on what the person doesn't have. In the strength model, you work with what they do have. And Gateway was very much a strength model, very much like you work with they work very much like you work with mentally handicapped children.
Okay.
Whereas ASH would probably work much better with people that have been in prison.
Ah.
So one was very harsh and telling you what you were doing wrong, and the other one was very soft and telling you what you were doing right. Well, that was my first experience with an organized New Age movement. Following that, I became involved with the PRS, the Dowser Society, and several other groups, IAPA, the International Academy of Psychic Artists, several people from Europe, several teachers from Asia, Middle Eastern teachers. And I tried everything once. Some of the things I tried twice, including Sufi dancing.
Really?
Yeah, Sufi dancing was tremendous. I enjoyed that tremendously. Worked very well.
The whirling, or?
Yeah, the whirling dervishes.
Wow.
Dervishes.
Yeah.
And I did that. And I tried just about everything. At least once. The Sufi dancing I did a number of times. I went on Vision Quest. I was that guy on the first day it opened.
The Gaia retreat in Leavenworth?
Right. The very first day it was open, that was there.
Okay. Yeah.
And of course I got into the business of reselling things, and I found out that I had a specific market for New Age goods and things that would to accommodate the needs of magic practitioners, including Wiccans, just about everybody, including Satanists. I knew what the Satanist community was doing. I knew what the vampires were doing. I knew what there was a whole bunch of groups that kind of settled around my store, which was called Legends and Legacies on 39th Street. And so consequently, I had carte blanche with most of those organizations. They all knew me, and I knew them, and I had access. So because I had access, I learned a lot. During that period, I worked with Kathy Fincham, with the prosecutor's office, as an expert witness on what cults do. And Kathy Pitchin was, I believe, was the Missouri State prosecutor. She's in the federal prosecutor's office now. I worked with, I forget what his name, Mike Nichols, that had the Magic Lantern shop in Westport. That was the premier magic shop, and by magic I mean M-A-G-I-C-K,
mm-hmm.
Not just a C. It had a final K on it. And the magic lantern referred to the lantern that the hermit carries. And so incidentally, the lantern is a symbol of a magic practitioner who deals in goods and services. And during that period, I also studied with I forget what their last names were, but it was Bob and Vicky. They had a place called the Yvonneable Bead in Westport, and I was able to study the meaning of beads and what they were used for and where they came from. So consequently, one thing led into another, and we ended up traveling around the country and mixing with other groups. part of the people that were in the SCA, Society for Creative Anachronism, I went to one of their events called the Penzic War in Pennsylvania, where I was able to sit down with the portion of their group that deals with magic and New Age thinking. It's absolutely eye-opening. This is very large. It's not a little thing. It's big. the deal is that when you talk about organized religion, I don't know if you're talking about organized religion or you're talking about publicized religion.
So
there is organized religion that is not publicized, therefore it isn't seen.
So how well organized would you say that this community is?
I would say it's organized in the same way a flock of birds are. They all know where they're going, and they fly in little groups, but the groups fly together. They don't have to have anything more in common than the same goal. And that's how they do it. They don't operate with a central leader. They operate from a central goal.
Okay.
My gentleman sitting here. More coffee or anything else I can
yes,
get you guys?
Please.
More
Officer, more coffee. Please.
More coffee? Okay.
Okay.
Now, when you're looking at, because I have to say I love your analogy of the flock of birds. That's brilliant. How would you distinguish between these categories that are kind of imposed, like New Age versus occult versus neo-pagan versus magic users? What... all of these are being kind of lumped together here, so
okay.
Could you talk about maybe how those are distinct or not distinct?
In 1920s, they had a group called the New Age.
Okay.
That same group is still the New Age. It shouldn't be. It's
not so new anymore after almost 100 years?
It was new 200 years ago. It was new 500 years ago. It was new 600 years ago, and it was new 1,000 years ago. It will be new 1,000 years from now. Because, unlike other religions, it only is available to those who seek it. And to them, it's new. But it is for the seeker, not the... They have nothing to sell. No one to proselyte. They're not after a following. They're after going in the same direction, and anybody that wants to travel with them is welcome. But unlike most organized religion, New Age is not a business. Now, the peripheral of New Age supplies for New Age, and those who take advantage of New Age, they're businesses. And good for them that they are making a business out of it, but the religion itself is not. There is nothing in New Age that says you have to go to a certain store to get a certain book. There's nothing in New Age that says that you have to wear certain clothes. New Age is only new to the person who finds it. Okay, and it will always be around as New Age. Now, magic. From an anthropological point of view, there's all kinds of magic users. There's all kinds of witches. These are not the same people that we're talking about. We're talking about magic users. We're not using the anthropological model. We're using a different model. These are not tribal people. They are not big men. They don't fit the big man profile. They simply take shortcuts across some very, very basic thinking. Where a person in an organized religion might have to buy a candle, might have to have the right book, and might have to have the right cross, not the right cross, left cross, right cross. A magic user now would create all these things himself or herself, and they would use it in the way that's simplest for them to use. They don't fall into a dogma.
So would it be fair to describe that as a religion or something that more of a technology or process that people use that can fit
I think
other
you
religions?
I think you can call it religion.
Okay.
In that it isn't the technology that's important. It's just that they use sort of a pragmatic approach to things. If it works, that's what they use. If it doesn't work, they don't use it.
Okay.
And the same thing about thoughts. If a thought works, they use it. If it doesn't work, they don't. Well, consider this. If you are in a situation where you're trying to make up your mind about something and you can take all the thoughts that don't work and set them aside and only use the thoughts that do work, the result is going to seem magical. If that makes any sense to anyone. But basically, they're pragmatic thinkers. And maybe there is no connection between the flame that on the candle and the outcome that they want, but there appears to be a synchronicity.
What about the neo-pagan community? Or
there's always a neo-pagan community. There's always something that's going to be very close to something else. I don't even know how you would have a pagan community with this, with the world the way it is. There, in order to be a pagan, as far as I can tell, you have to have something in nature, and nature has been changed. So the pagans, the neo-pagans, they're not only neo-pagans, they're neo-pagans. Nature has been altered. Therefore, paganism cannot really stand on the same thing it used to stand for. If you walk into a national forest and you think that that's the wild, you're very much mistaken, because that has no wildness in it. There's been fire breaks there. There's been all kinds of things changing the forest. And it's only when a person that's a novice or neophyte to the forest comes in that they see it as something wild. It has long, the wildness has long gone. There are no great animals in there like there once were. You can't be safe and be a pagan. You can't have a paved road taking you to the backwoods. The part of the path makes you a pagan. And you can't worship nature if there is very little nature to worship. There's people that don't even know what nature was once like. I mean, I've talked, when I was a youngster, and this is 60 years ago, I'm 65. 60 years ago, I remember people riding horses in downtown Kansas City as a means of transportation. I remember going to the woods to get water. I remember collecting wood to use in the stove in the kitchen. I remember when, if an animal was shot, it was not done for sport. There was a time when very, very few people hunted for sport. They hunted for food. And that was a very different time. It was very paganistic to hunt for food. We don't do that anymore. We get a license so we can shoot a certain number of protected animals so that we can thin them so they don't die. And if we were a little more paganistic, we wouldn't have to thin them. We'd just let them die. And that light probably understood that.
I think so. So would when dealing with the pagan or neo-pagan community versus the New Age community, how do you see them as related? Are they implicitly connected? Are they just kind of out there? Do they compete? Do they conflict?
Well, the neo-pagans, the people that identify themselves as neo-pagans, add the quality of a green earth, okay, which puts them mainline. they're the mainstream right now. And when you take the magic users, the witches, like that, they're not so much about being green, but they are about being pragmatic. They're not so much about going to heaven. I don't even know if they have one. I don't think so. As they are about living a good life here. They're tinging on green, but entirely separated from the other mainstream religions. The, which one's left? The
New Age.
The New Agers have a really, they're really riding on the spare tire of mainstream religion. They're still part of mainstream religion, but they're practicing it in a different way. Their God is a little more interested in listening to them directly. They're a little more able to take risks. They're not quite as in touch with the clergy, and they maintain maintain the idea they can do anything the clergy can do. And I kind of like that. Personally, I have no use for some of the dogma of mainstream religion. I would prefer, and again, the New Age, the magical community, and the.
For coffee?
Yes, please.
Yes, please.
Do you have cream?
I need some more cream.
Yes.
Got it.
Make for some interesting transcribing.
Oh, yeah. That was a beautiful redhead. Obviously a pagan.
This is going to go on the internet, so just so you know.
Okay.
They don't know which Denny's we're at, though.
Yeah. That's true. Anyway, yeah. You will transcribe this, right?
It will be transcribed, yes.
Okay. But I see those three as being extremely different.
Okay.
But part of this main flock.
Okay.
They're birds of a different feather that fly together.
Okay.
Whereas I see mainstream religion as a jet airplane flying through the flock. Is that? I'm, you know, by the time you get all the Catholics and the Jews in the air, there's not a lot of room for the ducks and the geese.
More water?
Yes, please. What's your name? We have to give you credit. What's your name, Nancy?
Nancy.
You do it the hard way, don't you?
With an I. Change the Y to I.
Yeah. That's good.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, of these three different groups, would you say that you were more involved with any one of them? Or did you kind of float equally between all three?
I tend to be a mystic. I tend to be something else other than someone that's... I consider most of those groups as a really, they're neophytes,
okay.
including the major religions. I think there's a much, much brighter path. It would be the path that a monk, a Buddhist, a wizard, a wise man, a wise woman, a shaman would take. And that we already know that we're one with the universe and all the things that are in it. we speak to ourselves, and in speaking to ourselves, we speak to the rest of existence.
So if you see yourself as other than these other communities, or these other groups, what is the nature, or was the nature of your involvement, or did that other path that you've developed to, was that a result of that interaction? Or
no, that was a result of direct training.
Okay.
I apprenticed.
Oh, okay.
Okay. And I've had several apprentices. But the big difference between those groups are they deal with their beliefs.
Okay.
The Catholics, the Jews, the Protestants, the Islamic community, the Shinto community, all deal with their beliefs. The community I belong to deal with mine. We don't believe something exists. We either know it or we know it not to be. And we know there are things that we don't know. And the things that we don't know, we don't believe in. We don't have to believe in things. We only have to know what we know and know that there are things that we don't know. That makes it much simpler. I would no more try to have someone trade their belief system for mine, because it takes a lot of hard knocks to get to that point. You don't come to this type of a belief system because your world went very well. You have to understand that there's a lot of wounds that go along with it, and a lot of forgiveness to go along with it, and a lot of self-inspection. There's a lot of self-forgiveness.
Okay.
The one of my biggest enlightened moments was when I realized my father was an amateur at being a father.
How's my gentleman doing here?
We're doing good.
Are
thank
okay?
you.
Can I help for anything else?
No, I think we're good.
We're doing well right now. Thank you.
You're welcome. I'll be coming check in the back if you guys need any coffee or anything else.
Okay.
I'll just see if there's tickets or you guys can have to wait for me.
Okay.
I'll leave this right here. Thank you for this.
Thank you. Anyway, I believe my biggest moment was when I realized my father was an amateur at being a father.
When we had something like this.
At the very best. You take your very best shaman. He is an amateur at being a shaman. Your very best wizard. He's going to be an amateur at being a wizard. And the problem is that most people don't know what an amateur is. An amateur is a person that does it with a love. Amateur.
Okay, 61.
You would never consider making it a profession or making it a business. It doesn't make any difference to me if someone wants to spend their life playing games with their soul. It is my place to correct that. Actually, I don't think it's anyone's place to correct it. But it is my place to say, did you know there was an option? Did you know there were many options? What if it didn't make any difference? So I run into people all the time as a chaplain for the young Marines. My job was to lead people to what they already know. Not to what I know, but to what they already know. If you were a New Ager, and you may be, if you were a New Ager, and you came to me and you said, I have this problem, my first question would be, say, well, what does it do for you? And why do you have it? So if you have the problem, what do you keep it for? Is there something you need from it? And then I would say, well, what does your belief system say about handling that problem? And I would remind them of their belief system. And most of the time, people just say, oh, I forgot that. If I were dealing with a Catholic or a Jew, And they came to me and they said, I have this problem. I would ask them, what is your belief system? What does your religion tell you about that? And they say, well, tell me this. Is that what you're doing? And they would say yes or no. And I'd say, if it's no, then I'd say, well, what other belief system are you following? Okay, because everything you're doing is right, but maybe you titled it wrong. Maybe we need to label it differently. Maybe we need to re-label what your belief system is. Maybe you're not Catholic. Maybe you're not a Jew. Maybe you're not a pagan. Maybe you're something else that works better for you. I don't want to change anybody's belief system. I think people have what they have when they need it. I've had a very good student in my life. I have great hopes for him to realize what his path is. I don't have great hopes that he will become any particular thing, but from what I see of his path, all he has to do is choose it. And there was greatness there. Not success, greatness. Okay, not because of his belief system, because of what I would say it's because of his no system. Okay, so yes, there's some difference between the groups, but the big one is they have beliefs, not knowing. Okay.
Okay. So we'll go through here. How has your involvement in, because you've indicated that where you're at and what you do is kind of different from from New Age or neo-paganism. So how would either your own system that you follow or these other systems, how would you say they've affected maybe your daily life? Or
do you want me to be painfully honest on this?
Sure.
Okay. The reason I followed certain belief systems as a young man was because it was the easiest way of meeting women. And I found that pagan women tend to be a little easier to, at the time, was to get in bed. And then with the advent of AIDS, I started leaning toward religious people because they probably had less of a history. But I think you can boil everything down to breeding, sex, food, and drink. I mean, it's really down to those basic three things. The basic functionings of an animal. We choose certain groups because we have opportunities in those groups. We either have opportunities to eat or feed or breed. And that's what I did. As I became older, and this hasn't slowed down any. You know, I'm 65. I still would hope that I have the same mindset. I would not be around a group at all unless I were able to get something from it that I absolutely enjoyed. And I would suggest that to any young man or a young woman. If it hurts more than it feels good, don't do it. But my path was directly pointed to by my appendages. And luckily, my head was not far behind. And I found some brilliant women. Absolutely brilliant women that most men don't consider good resources. But they were brilliant.
Okay. Let's see. When you're looking at the New Age or the neo-pagan community, how would you view them, the participants interacting with each other or even between those other groups interacting with one another?
In a more sophisticated way, children playing. They're still children playing.
Okay.
That's, they have parts, they play them out.
Did you go?
And they don't actually, they're playing games.
Well, Jerry, you got,
and it's fun to see them play, but they, that's what they do. That's what I see them do.
Okay.
Their children play. I don't see that in organized religion.
Okay.
In organized religion, I see someone leading them on what to do. I see them basically, in, they're doing Pilates. Religious Pilates.
Okay. And how would you say that members of these different groups tend to interact with the general public or with mainstream religions?
Oh, well, they wear their costumes. The pagans, the neo-pagans, the magic users, and the, we have another group in there someplace. They wear their costumes that will allow them to identify one another,
mm-hmm.
but will not allow mainstream to see them anymore as eccentric.
Hmm.
And they are seen on the fringes of mainstream, but they are never seen as a central figure in another stream.
Would you describe and see any antagonism there or cooperation?
I would say that the neo-pagans, the Wiccans, the, what's the other group? The
New Agers?
The New Agers.
Okay.
They tend to be more antagonistic than the mainstream. Mainstream, remember, still comes from this idea that you don't confront people. If mainstream has a failing, that's it. They don't confront. Their crimes are of omission. Their crimes are of omission. They do not make a point of who they are. Not even to their own members. Except for maybe that fellow in Topeka. And I think the only reason he does it is because he makes good money on it.
Okay.
What is his name?
Phelps.
Yeah.
Fred Phelps.
I had the opportunity to pick at him one time at Johnson County, and we did.
A lot of people do. Let's see, what sort of group activities have you observed in either the New Age or the Neo-Pagan communities, or would you say that most of the activities are more private?
No, I think they're pretty open. I think for one thing, the gay community is drawn to them because they're more accepting.
Okay.
The pagan communities are the Wiccans are far more compatible with lesbians, and I find that I found that some of the New Age communities seem to work much better with gay men. Now, when I was at Johns County Community College, I was a member of the gay communities, the gay club. Obviously, I represented the straight segment of society. And the reason I did this is because I found out that several people in my family were gay or lesbians. I needed a way to learn about that. So I became a member of that club. I got to talk to people. I found out that these are not very different than normal straight community, except they feel very, very threatened. And that's the only thing. And I think they find sanctuary in some of these belief systems.
How does conversion or joining these groups go about? Since you've hinted that it's a very loose organizational structure, is there, like, are there some groups that have formal recruiting efforts or procedures? How do you get involved with it? How do they get new members?
Well, there's some groups of Gardnerian Witches. From what I can tell, it's a reconstruct of what they believed a different group was during the Middle Ages. It can't be over 100 years old, maybe not over 75 years old. In those groups, some of them practice a year in the day, that a person is provisional for a year and a day. But basically, it's if you have an invite and sanctioned by the rest of the group, then you become a member. But on the other hand, that same group's that does require an alpha personality. I do. So they have an alpha member. So if they bring in another alpha member, it's a really good chance to split off and create their own group. Like that. Then I think that's how they grow. Among the witches and the New Agers. The New Agers seem to be very open to people. If you want to come in, that's great. If you want to go out, that's great. Can I have some cream, please? As far as I can tell, they're pretty open. I'm sure that Satanists are a little bit. Of course, I can't include the Satanists into the same thing as New Age or paganism or any of those, because they're actually against Catholicism. Okay, which is a mainstream religion. So including them in the other group, they still function under the same ideas of Catholicism, even if it's in the reverse. So I can't include that segment. Brewerians, and I've had dealings with Mexican groups too. As I said, I've worked with the prosecutor and Kenzie, Missouri, Kathy Pitcher, and especially on cult abuse and how some children were sacrificed. And as far as I can tell, that is not as organized. It's Brewerria. How it is maintained in other areas, it seems to be more of a cover for drugs than anything else.
Okay. Let's see, what were there any tendencies regarding kind of a typical dress, typical modes of dress or styles or anything that have gone through these communities? You indicated that it wasn't necessarily a requirement for the spiritual component, but have you noticed these cultural trends?
Yes. Can I take a break and go to the
room? Yeah, we can do that. Okay.
Okay. Dress among neo-pagans, New Agers, and the magic community is commensurate with the way they play.
Okay.
As I said, they put on costumes.
Okay.
The costumes are usually a little older, secondhand, because if you're a New Ager, you probably won't fit into a mainstream job. If you do, you will have a costume when you're not at work. It might be a shirt that's 30 years old, or something your father wore, or maybe the pants that a hippie wore at one time. But there's a belief that the older stuff is better stuff. And they haven't come to the idea that the stuff is still stuff. It was the worst thing, the worst fashions that they could gather at the time, and they're just repeating them a little bit. I get a kick about talking about the witches with the long pointed hat and the black outfit, and you see those in paintings, medieval paintings. Well, actually, they were making fun of people that lived in the country and were not up on fashion. And this still goes. It still goes. But I have noticed them to migrate towards black things. And that's because I've noticed a lot of them are overweight. And everybody knows black is thinning. And I'm not joking.
Okay.
That you can, and it goes good with red hair, which seems to be sacred among several of those groups. And it shows off beads really well.
Oh boy, we're getting into some stereotypes here.
Yeah, well, I'm not, see, I didn't create the stereotypes. They create them themselves.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I could travel to several different of these communities, and I could take one picture and find that person in each community.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if there is a stereotypical community, it will be the New Age one.
I mean,
if all you have to do is watch Simpsons, and you will find, like the religious community, Flanders is.
Mm-hmm.
He's a, you know, for a holy roller and things like that. He's typical. He's, you know, but I don't believe that the idea of stereotyping is a bad thing. I think that it's become politically correct not to do that. But on the other hand, we do it.
Okay. Let's see, how do these kinds of groups deal with children in the community, with raising or educating children?
Well, most of them try the public school system because it's the least expensive. A few, will homeschool because some of the people in the pagan community, neo-pagan community, and New Age community are very well educated, extremely well educated. And they are absolutely, totally capable of teaching their own children. And they recognize the school system cannot do as good a job as they can. So, yes, there's a lot of diversity in it, but not any more diversity that's in the mainstream.
What about religious or spiritual training of children?
It's very casual. It's an everyday thing, every moment thing. Unlike Sunday school that mainstream goes to, or Saturday school or Friday school, New Agers the magic community and the the three of them. Their children are taught by the minute. They're taught by living. Which I find very refreshing. And much in the same way that you would see an egalitarian community. If you go to a city in Mexico, you'll see children taught the same way. Okay? And I take it we're talking about in the United States, because in other countries it's different.
What examples did you see of community service or charity activities?
Among the New Agers?
Uh-huh.
Everything's charity. They accept charity, they get charity.
Were there specific organizations or activities or drives or anything, or was it just more of a communal helping each other out?
They just help.
Okay.
There's no tax deduction for what they do. And they do a very good job of what they do.
What about dealing with drug and alcohol abuse or physical or mental abuse? How do they handle things like events like that in the community, and are there like formal treatment programs or anything?
I think they rely on mainstream for most of that.
Okay.
But in the community, they would never use drugs or alcohol because that would not be the right way to treat your body as a temple.
Okay.
There are, of course, there are going to be a few that they may think marijuana is just a natural plant, which it is. But the whole idea of drugs and manufactured drugs, there's a difference between herbs and drugs.
Okay.
And they tend to deal with herbs in the way that you have to also include Native Americans in that group.
Okay.
And I take it you're talking about animals. Okay, animals treat manufactured drugs as a taboo. They treat herbs. It's pretty good stuff.
Okay. What about norms and expectations for sexual behavior? And also penalties for violating those sexual norms?
The only sexual norm I know of is you don't violate children. And everything else, if it feels good, let's do it. That's pretty much, if it doesn't leave any scars, if it's beneficial for everybody involved, then it's fine.
What about cases where people have overstepped boundaries or...
It depends who placed the boundaries. In the groups, in some of the groups were polygamy, polyandry are practiced. Then mating is pretty simple. Again, it cannot involve children. That's the only taboo I know of. There tends to be a minor taboo against incest.
Okay.
But it's a minor taboo.
Okay. You know of instances where that was violated, or?
Absolutely. I'm a mandate reporter. I reported it.
Okay.
That was a person in PRS, and I knew about it, and I reported it. Just because in the community it wasn't upheld doesn't mean that in the greater community, the one that puts the laws out, that it can't be upheld, and that's the reason. I'm a mandate reporter, so I did that.
Have you ever found yourself in a position where there was a conflict between, a conflict like that, between obligations for the larger community and obligations or expectations in the smaller community?
Mm-hmm. And I've always said that, you know, again, I'm a mandate reporter. I deal with people that have illnesses, and I have to follow, since I live in Kansas, I follow the laws that Kansas sets.
Okay.
I don't care if the person is in a pagan community, they also have to follow those laws. Even if they may keep some things secret, but for the most part, the pagan community is very, very supportive of their own beliefs. And their norms and morals are very similar to those set out by the state. I don't think there's that much difference. However, there's some people that feel that it doesn't happen. And they may set themselves up as a little demagogue. And we've got one right now being tried. I think he was tried today and found guilty.
Who is that?
He had fathered 4 children with his daughter.
Oh.
Okay. I don't know what his religious background was. But whatever it was, whether he was a pagan or he was a Catholic, a Jew, or a Jehovah's Witness, or practice Islam, can't do that in Kansas.
How have your religious or spiritual practices or involvement with these communities informed or impacted your political stances at all, as in terms of activism or nationalistic views or support for the state or anything like that?
Well, I was the first president of the Johnson County chapter of the ACLU.
Mm-hmm.
I was an active member in the Republican Party for a while. Then I became an active member in the Democratic Party. Then I was back in the Republican Party for a while. When Ross Perot ran for president, I took a mainstream part. I was part of his security. I have never backed off from my political stance. David Owen was running for lieutenant governor. I was beside him every minute.
Mark and I were in the basement.
He eventually went to jail, I think. And that's what should happen when somebody is doing something wrong. He didn't go to jail for his politics. He went to jail for his banking. And in the present climate, I think that's a good idea, too. Okay.
What do you see, how do you see the future of these groups, these communities, over the long run, as far as how they're changing or growing or general public acceptance of New Age or neo-pagan beliefs?
Well, it depends on the disappointment they have in other belief systems. You have two major belief systems at war with one another. You have Islam at war with the Jews. You have Catholicism standing on the side at war with itself. Catholicism is taking a big bite, which tells me that there's a lot of people going to turn to things like unity, more secular belief systems rather than more New Age. I think they're going to be more community-based. And in the future, there will be another type of New Age. I guarantee you, the next New Age after this next New Age will probably be Catholicism or Judaism revised.
Okay. All right. And we are starting to run a bit short on time, but were there any negative experiences that you had in your involvement in these communities?
I was too fat to dance sometimes. But I wore black, so I didn't look as bad.
Okay. And your beads were shown off.
I did wear good beads. I worked with Yvonne with beads. I had 3,000-year-old beads.
Wow.
So I looked good.
Okay. Do you have any documents or newspaper clippings or anything like that? Would you be willing to share those?
Sure.
Okay.
I probably have some things. I did some predictions on PRS.
Okay.
There's some film footage from... I did some predictions on the David Snyder Show. I predicted the Oklahoma City bombing. I predicted the second hit on the World Trade Center. I've worked with the Kansas City Police Department finding bodies on rescue and recovery. I've worked with the fire department. So there's got to be some documents in there someplace. Yes.
Okay. All right. Do you know of any other religious bodies or groups that whose stories that we should record or that we should
interview? Yeah, I think so. I think Kansas City is just an absolute madhouse for religions. I mean, there's five major religions based here.
Yeah.
And I think you really need to look at the Native American belief systems.
Okay.
From an anthropological point of view, because I think that if you really want to see the way it should be done, they're the ones that are doing it. And they do have this idea of I know. And the things I don't know, somebody else will take care of.
And can you think of any other people that we should interview?
Mike Nichols.
Okay.
I don't know if he'll do that or not. He's been away from it for a while.
Is he in Kansas or is he in Missouri?
I think he's in Kansas.
Okay.
I would go down to, what's that shop? Vulcan's Forge.
Yeah, Aquarius and Vulcan's Forge.
Yeah, I would talk to the owners there. They're kind of interesting.
Okay.
And
I'd have to check because that is on the Missouri side, and we're supposed to be focusing on stuff in Kansas.
Well, there's some people on the Kansas side too.
Okay.
Let's see. There's so many witches in Johnson County, though. If I run into one, I'll give you a call. Let you know.
Okay, I'd appreciate it. Well, thank you very much for your time.
It's my pleasure.